since we're in the park, I thought it would be good to just focus for 6 weeks on some of the major accounts of Jesus that he did outside. Because often when we're inside, we don't really aren't aware of creation and God's presence in it like we are when we're in a park. So I thought it'd be fun to just look at some different accounts of Jesus in his creation and showing his power and glory. And this morning, we're going to be in Mark chapter 4, starting in verse 35. And I'm going to read that here in just a second. But a few years ago, when I was in seminary, actually more than a few now, there was a professor that I had that shared how he was leading a Bible study for senior citizens at one point. And he asked those that were a part of the study, he said, "What makes you the most afraid? What makes you the most afraid?" He was surprised when a woman in her 90s responded by saying, "Thunder." And he was like, "Oh, interesting. Why is that?" Well, she said, "You know, since I've been a little girl, whenever I hear thunder, I just get afraid and I shake." And he shared how he thought that, you know, surely there would be other things that she would be more afraid of, right? Having lived so many years. But yet, that was one of those things that was still top on her list that would bring deep fear into her. Maybe you can relate to that. When a storm comes, the fury of it, you fear that thunder. She says, "When I hear thunder, I just shake." If you've ever gone through high winds or tornado or have been close to the fury of nature, maybe you can identify with that a little bit this morning. We've had some storms that have come through Gretna recently. I think it was last week when the siren went off late at night as there was a tornado warning. I tend to, maybe it's because I thought of being a meteorologist for a while. When I was a kid, I've always been fascinated by weather. So Courtney gives me a hard time. Like, I'm always looking at the radar and seeing, and she's kind of oblivious to it. And I always joke that I'm going to be the one that's saving us, you know, if storms comes through. It's not going to be you, but we have some fun with that. But we've experienced that just recently with some storms coming through, and we feel that fear just a little bit, even though we are in our homes and probably everything's going to be okay. It's just thunder, right? It's just wind. It's just rain. But yet, when we're exposed to the violence of nature, we feel helpless. All the faith that we may have is completely sucked out of us when fear grips us. Maybe you've been in that situation where you have felt the overwhelming power of God's creation. At that moment, we feel like we're sitting across the table from death, and it's looking straight at us. The disciples were facing this kind of fear in Mark chapter 4. There was real wind. There was real waves there that were actually threatening their lives. They're facing an actual storm that threatens to remove them from what they hold dear. And so they ask the question of Jesus, "Jesus, do you care if we die?" It's a question that each of us are going to ask at some point, whether it's from weather or something else in our lives. "Jesus, do you care? Hello, over here, do you see what's going on here? Don't you care that I'm in danger? Do something." So let's look at this account here in Mark chapter 4 of Jesus calming the storm. We're going to begin at verse 35. And it says this, "On that day, when evening had come, he said to them, 'Let us go across to the other side.' And leaving the crowd, they took him with him, them in the boat, just as he was. And other boats were with him. And a great windstorm arose, and the waves were breaking into the boat, so that the boat was already filling. But he was in the stern, asleep on the cushion. And they awoke him and said to him, 'Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?' And he awoke and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, 'Peace, be still.' And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said to them, 'Why are you so afraid? Have you still no faith?' And they were filled with great fear and said to one another, 'Who then is this that even the wind and the sea obey him?'" Lord, we thank you this morning for the opportunity that we have to look into your word. we ask that same question as your people. Who is this that we worship this morning, that even the wind and the waves obey him? Lord, I ask that you would, through the power of your Holy Spirit, that you would speak through your word this morning to those of us that are gathered here. For we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. So the same professor that I mentioned at the start here just a few minutes ago talked about how he went to a trip to the Middle East, to Israel. Has anybody ever been to Israel? You guys have? Yeah, it's quite amazing. I have not been there. Would love to get there someday. But he was going to go on a boat tour on the Sea of Galilee. And it ended up being canceled because about that time, there was these high winds that came on the Sea of Galilee. And he talked about how, because the Sea of Galilee is 700 feet below sea level and you have mountains around it, it can produce high winds and produce waves on this sea. Now, the Sea of Galilee is not that huge. And I'm not sure how many miles it is across, but it's not like it's the ocean or anything like that. But because of where it's located, boats can be out in the middle of it and just be caught in a storm because the winds, the cold wind will come down and the warm air of the lake will produce these high winds and waves. So he talked about watching as these boats were stuck in the middle of the water, not able to go to the other side due to the high winds. And so I thought it was kind of fascinating, and he was just really fascinated by the fact that he actually experienced that when he was there. Probably the same dynamics that Jesus felt or that happened when Jesus was in the boat with his disciples. And so verse 38 shows the seriousness of the storm that they're in. Notice it says, "But he was with them in the stern, asleep on the cushion, and they woke him and said, 'Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?'" They ask if Jesus cares that they're about to die here. Jesus, come on, what are you doing? You're over there sleeping on the stern. He was most likely underneath the boat in the recessed part, sleeping while this is all happening. To make matters worse, it was Jesus's idea to go across the lake as well. And so he got them into this mess, right? He is the one that suggested. So not only did you suggest this, Jesus, you got us into this mess, but now this is happening and you're over there sleeping. What is going on? Well, I want to just look at two different aspects of who Jesus is here in this passage, here in the remaining moments. I want to look at his human limitations, number one, but then also his divine power. His human limitations and his divine power. Let's just start with his human limitations here. I mentioned it, that Jesus was sleeping while the storm was going on. Verse 35 says that they went across the lake in the evening, and it had been a long day of teaching, so Jesus was tired. Verse 36, maybe you noticed this when I read this, it has some curious wording. When it says, "leaving the crowd behind, they took him along just as he was in the boat." What do they mean by they took Jesus along just as he was in the boat? Well, there's a couple of possibilities. One of the possibilities was the fact that we know earlier in chapter 4, you'll notice in chapter 4, verse 1, it says that he began to teach beside the sea, and a very large crowd gathered about him, so that he got into a boat and sat in it on the sea, and they were on the land. So Jesus has given us the parable of the sower in chapter 4, which we actually looked at last week, if you were here. So he's sitting in the boat while the people are on the land, and he's teaching because there's so many people around him, he had to just stay in the boat. So it could mean when it says that they took him as he was, that he just stayed in the boat and they took off in that same boat, or they just transferred him quick to another boat. That might mean what it that might be what it means there as he was teaching there. So verse 36 tells us that. But what we see here is Jesus subjecting himself to the limitations of being a man. I know scripture teaches us that Jesus is both God and human. He's fully God, but he's also fully human, right? And I think we get the fully God part pretty easily. We don't really struggle with the fact that Jesus was God, right? But I think it's harder for us to grasp what it meant for Jesus to be a man. The fact that he was fully human as well. There's various scenarios that I've heard people ask rhetorical questions, such as, if Jesus played baseball, would he ever strike out? Would he ever, you know, throw it to first base and throw it over his head? And it brings out this interesting question of what does it mean for Jesus to be human? He never sinned, right? But that doesn't mean that he might not have messed up and struck out. No, they didn't have baseball then. Maybe they had a form of it. I don't know. But what does it mean for Jesus to be human? The fact that he might have done something like that. It's not sinning, right? He was placing himself under the limits of being a man. So he needed food. He needed sleep. He had limitations, not because he had to do that, because he willingly became a man and put himself under the limitations of being a human. So I think it's kind of fascinating to think about that. What did it mean for Jesus to be a man? But this reflects the fact that, you know, he needs sleep. He had a really long day teaching. It also reflects the fact that he's trusting in the Lord. He's trusting in his Heavenly Father. He's sleeping while the storm is going on. He's trusting in his Father. Keep in mind also that some of the disciples were veteran sailors or seamen. So these guys were not greenhorns when it came to being on the sea. Most of us, if you were to get me in a boat, you know, I would probably freak out pretty quickly if a storm came up. But if you're a veteran person of the sea, it would take a lot for you to be freaking out that you're going to die, right? So I think it's interesting to think about that these were not inexperienced sailors. So this storm was so bad that they're crying out to Jesus, save us. What are you doing? Why are you sleeping? It would have been creaking. Yeah, the waves would have been coming in. It was filling with water, and they were full of fear. The very boat that was built to provide safety and shelter from the sea is close to breaking up. And what a horrific situation that must have been. If you've ever been in the basement of your home during a tornado, maybe you've gotten a little taste of that. I have this vivid memory when I was a kid of being in my grandparents' house when a tornado came through or came close. And I can remember being in the basement and just hearing the house creak. I thought it was going to take the house. Thankfully, it didn't. But that's about as close as I've been to just the fury of something like a tornado. It was horrific. I mean, fear grips you when something like that happens. And just hearing that high wind, thankfully, of course, that didn't happen. But there was this tornado that came very close. Several of us, when at my former church that I was at in Illinois before coming here, went and did tornado cleanup in Washington, Illinois. There was a huge tornado that went through there years ago. It was actually about 45 minutes away from where I grew up. And so we did a cleanup, did a work trip for about a week. And as we talked to people that went through that, it was kind of fascinating at their reactions, even months later, the trauma that you could just feel and see in them as they recounted being in their basements and having their home just swept away above them. Just a very traumatic situation to be in as they were telling about that. So being in God's creation can overwhelm us at times. It can terrify us with its power. And this is what the disciples are going through. Notice how the disciples take Jesus as sleeping to mean that he doesn't care, right? Teacher, don't you care if we drown? Don't you care that we die? And yet Jesus is sleeping. So we see this first aspect. Jesus needed sleep. He was a human. He subjected himself to human limitations. But then now I want to look at his divine power, the second part aspect of this passage. Look with me at verse 39. It says, and he awoke and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, peace and be still. And the wind ceased and there was a great calm. Peace, be still. And it was still. Can you imagine experiencing that, being on the midst of death, what it feels like, and then have Jesus to get up and say, peace, be still, and have the wind and the waves die down. Amazing to think about that. By the very word of his power, he calmed the storm. Does it sound familiar? How was the world created in Genesis chapter 1? By the very word of God. At his very word, it went forth and the world was created by the power of his word. And God said, let there be light. And he goes on to create over 6 days in creation. I love what Psalm 107, verses 23 to 30 says. Note the echoes of this passage here. Psalm 107 says, some went down to the sea in ships, doing business on the great waters. They saw the deeds of the Lord, his wondrous works in the deep. For he commanded and raised the stormy wind, which lifted up the waves of the sea. They mounted up to heaven. They went down to the depths. Their courage melted away in their evil plight. They reeled and staggered like drunken men and were at their wits' end. Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them from their distress. He made the storm be still, and the waves of the sea were hushed. They were glad that the waters were quiet, and he brought them to their desired haven. The words of Psalm 107, 23 to 30. So Jesus is showing his power over the wind and the waves and over nature. His ultimate purpose is to show that he is the Son of God, right? That he is able to do what God is able to do. Jesus often was saying that he was God. And that's what ended up getting him crucified, right? The Pharisees heard that and they were like, don't think so. So this claim that Jesus was God, that he was the Son of God, is true. But yet people didn't, the religious leaders didn't want to accept that. So only God can speak and bring the world into existence. Only God can speak in Psalm 107 and make the storm be still. Jesus shows that he is God by speaking to the wind here in Mark chapter 4, causing it to be still. And immediately after this, Jesus turns his focus on the disciples. Notice that. And he asks them why they're so afraid. And then he says, do you still have no faith? Someone has said, and I thought this was interesting, I never thought about this, but they said that that fear and faith are mutually exclusives in the Bible. Fear and faith are mutually exclusive in the Bible. In other words, they can't coexist together. And their point was that whenever there is fear, faith goes out the window, right? They can't happen together. No command is given more in Scripture than do not fear. That's another interesting thing to think about. The most commands in Scripture are do not fear. So isn't that interesting that God knows how often we fear? And so he had to say that. He says that over and over in the Bible. Do not fear. Do not fear. He knows how easily we fear. And we're terrified by the things of this life. But the disciples aren't just afraid here. They accuse Jesus in verse 38 of not caring whether they drown. How often do we get in situations and we accuse God and say, you know, how could you let this happen, God? What are you doing here? And you don't care. Fear overtakes us and faith leaves. There's the old story, which probably isn't true, but it's kind of funny, that two explorers were on a jungle safari when suddenly a ferocious lion jumped out in front of them. And the first explorer said, keep calm, keep calm. Remember what we read in the book on wild animals. If you stand perfectly still and look the lion in the eye, he will turn and run. That's what the book says, right? Sure, replied his companion. You've read the book, and I've read the book, but has the lion read the book? Not so sure about that. Life is like that lion, isn't it? It's big, it's huge, it's imposing. These things come into our lives that are unpredictable. A sickness, the death of a loved one, we lose our job, whatever it is, all these things come into our lives that we don't bargain for, we don't think is coming. It scares the living daylight out of us. We know in our minds what is true about God, but in the midst of it, we don't really believe it, right? Because fear overtakes us. We've read the book, the Bible, which tells us to keep our faith, that God is in control. But we're in the middle of something, in a trial. It's so easy to throw that faith out the window. Like the lion, we wonder whether life has read the book, because it doesn't play by our rules. Some of you have gone through things like that and are going through trials where they weren't even on your radar, right? This wasn't supposed to happen. How can this be happening in my life right now? God, do you care? Hello, I'm over here. Do you care? Do you know what's going on? And fear grips us, just as it did the disciples, when we question whether God, whether Jesus even cares about us and our impending doom. James Edwards writes this. He said, "The real threat to faith comes not from the lack of knowledge, but from doubt and fear." So true, isn't it, that most of us here, many of us here this morning, we've read our Bible for years, and so it's not lack of knowledge that's the threat to our faith. We know a lot about God. We know a lot of the truths there, but it's not so much knowledge as doubt and fear that really threatens our faith. And so through this passage, Jesus is reminding us of his divine power to calm the literal waves and winds. You know, sometimes we often use these terms metaphorically, the winds and the storms that come into our lives, right? But here it is literally the wind and the waves that are threatening the disciples, and they think they're going to die. And Jesus, by the very word of his power, says, "Peace, be still." And the wind and the waves quiet down. So Jesus is showing us his power here, that he is God. He is able to tame his creation, the word of his power. I think it's interesting, you might remember the transfiguration of Jesus in another account in the Gospels. Peter, James, and John go up on a mountain with Jesus. Do you imagine how cool that would have been? They're climbing this mountain with Jesus. And if you know the story, or if not, I'll tell you, their clothes, Jesus's clothes, become dazzling white as he's transfigured on this mountain. And he's showing his glory to the disciples. So we know that Jesus is human. You know, here he was just hiking with the disciples, just another day. And then all of a sudden he's transfigured and he's showing his divine glory and power. And how do the disciples respond? Well, if you remember the story, they're terrified. Here they're with their friend Jesus, and they see this happen, and they're afraid, they're terrified by this account. Why? Because they're beholding the glory of Jesus, fully God at the same time, and he is showing his glory in an amazing way, and they're terrified. How often in Scripture, when Jesus shows his full power, when God shows his full power, Old and New Testament, and his glory, people fall down, and they're afraid, they're terrified. It shows the power of God in his glory. Ouch, and a fly just bit me. We see that here, the awesome power of God, of Jesus. So is Jesus human? Yes, he's human. But is he fully God as well? Yes, he's the divine Son of God. And we see that here in this passage this morning. So Jesus wants his disciples, in a sense, to fear him, not in a bad way, but to realize who he is. At the word of his power, he is able to calm the storm. And he's doing this so that they're going to put their faith and trust in him alone. And he wants the same for you and me here this morning. So I'm going to close by asking you this question. What in your life is terrifying you this morning? What in life is making you fear or fearful? I say this morning, it may have been something that over this past week in the middle of the night that has kept you up. You've been stewing about something in your life. You've been fearful. What is it that is causing you fear? Could be a sickness. Could be a person. It could be your own death, your own mortality, that can cause us to fear at times. The message for you and I this morning is to put our faith and trust in Jesus. He is the only one who can calm the storm. He is the only one that we can rest in. and know that he is in control of all things. We don't have to fear because Jesus is all powerful and he is near. So I'm going to close us in prayer, but I want to just to take a moment before we do that. I would just invite you to just take a moment in silence and to maybe name something that you're fearful of this morning. And just go before the Lord and ask him to help you with that. Just come before him, ask him to help you with that fear, knowing that he is all powerful, he is all loving, he is able to work even in fearful circumstances. So let's do that for just a few seconds, and then I'll close us in prayer. Lord Jesus, we thank you this morning that we can see this account here in Mark chapter 4 of the wind and the waves, the disciples being afraid, even unto death, wondering whether they're going to perish. Lord, we know that at times in our lives, although we might not be in a literal storm, maybe we will be in a similar situation at some point. But whatever it is in our lives, those storms that cause us to fear, keep us up at night, wonder what you're doing, whether you're present. Lord, I pray that you would remind us through this passage this morning that you are all powerful. You are a good Savior, the good Shepherd who knows what we're going through. So Lord, I pray that just as the disciples, the aim was to cause them to trust in you, I pray that the same would be for us as we have come across this passage and looked at it this morning. That even though there's things in our lives that cause us fear, cause us to question your goodness, cause us to question whether you're really in control, I pray that through your Holy Spirit, you would remind us of your love and your care and your power over all things, which means that we can rest at night. We don't have to fear. Even if the worst happens and we do die, that if we know you, Jesus, You will take us into paradise with you forever in glory. So even then, we don't have to fear because we know not a hair of our heads is not under, and no part of our life is not under your control. So help us to rest in that this morning, we ask. And for anyone who's fearing, those of us fearing various things this morning, help us to hear these words of you. Peace, be still. Lord, you are the only one that can give us the peace that we need, and we ask that you would do that this morning. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.